We are up to Divrei Hayom Perek Chof Aleph. Yesterday we began the first pasuk of the pasuk Beis. We're up to pasuk Beis, but let's start again from pasuk Aleph to review and to learn the Rashi's. Vayamod Satan al Yisrael. A Satan stood, was instigated against Yisrael. Vayoses Estavid, and the Satan incited David, Limnois es Yisrael, to count the Jewish people. That is prohibited. It's us to count Klal unless you count them by shkolim, machza shekel, or through some other means. The simple understanding of the pasuk is that David counted them by number, not by using shkolim or by using animals or anything of the like. However, we learned yesterday in an interpretation that it's not necessarily so. It could be it's prohibited, even if you count them to shkolim, it's not necessarily the best thing to do. Rashi right away says, Vayamod Satan al Yisrael, Afi Shaparsha Zo Rashi comes. Rashi is following his approach, general approach to Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Everything in Divrei Hayamim has to represent the kavod of David. So someone asked this question yesterday, I don't remember who, that this is not a kavod for David. This story that we're about to learn, obviously, is not a very happy story. It's a very great tragedy. So Rashi explains, Afal pi, don't challenge me from this section of Divrei Hayam that it is a problem. It goes against the grain of the approach I've been presenting all along. Afal pi shaparsha zo eina lechvoid David. Because David, it was a magaif. David made a mistake, and it was a magaif, and it was a terrible tragedy. Nichtevu kan mishum shnemer b'soif ha'parsha shabona mizbeach. David built a mizbeach to stop the magaifa that resulted from this counting. Ve'oneyu Hashem in hashamayim, and Hashem answered him. V'zeh kvoid David. Unbelievable answer. Because in the long run, Hashem answered David's prayer, ultimately, you know, Yotza Hefseidoi Bischaroi. Nothing in this world is perfect. They're always Milus and Chastranos. It all depends which one, what's the ultimate good. The ultimate good was Hashem answered David. That's a cover. That's why this here is mentioned. There's a very nice Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David says, Vayamot Satan. What is the Satan? Someone asked this yesterday. What is the Satan? Who Hayetzer Hora? Hanatua Balei for Adam, the Satan is the Yetzer Hara that is implanted, embedded inside the heart of man. Very powerful expression. The Ayin Hara. Okay, the Satan is Satan, okay? Okay. Yeah, okay. Pasek Beis. Vayomer David el Yoav. David said to Yoav, Yelsori Ha'am, and to the leaders, Luchu, go out, Sifru. Yisrael, I want you to count the Jewish people from Beersheva Adon, from the boundaries of Beersheva until Don, V'haviu Eloi, and bring me the numbers. V'eda'o es misparam, bring me the count, and I will know their number. Let's see the Mitzvah's part, no Mitzvah's Gimel. V'yamar Yoav. Yoav said, David, what in the world are you doing? Why in the world do you want to count the Jewish people? Whatever they are, they are. And halavai, they should grow and multiply to be double, triple the number. Vayomer Yoav Yosef Hashem alama. May Hashem multiply upon his nation, Kohaim, the way they are now. Mea fa'amim, 100 times. They should multiply by 100 times. Haloi Adoni Hamelech, Kulam, behold, my master the king, Kulam Ladoni Lavadim. They're all your servants. What do you need to know their number for? Yoav right away understood that it's not in the best interest of David to count Klal Yisrael. It is prohibited to count Klal Yisrael. And that brings an Ayin Hara, and we'll see the Mitzvot in one moment. Ein bracha motzui el bedover hasamay min ha'ayin. So why do you need to count the people if you want to know how many able-bodied men there are to fight in your wars? They're all your servants. Don't worry, we'll all be there. Kulam laduni alavodin. They're all to my master's servants. Lama yivakesh sos aduni. Why do you want to do this? Lama yihya leashma liyisro. Why should this be a sin, guilt for the Jewish people violating Hashem's Torah and counting the Jewish people. Obviously, we know yesterday there's a lot more going on between the lines. David was said, "I'm doing L'shem Shemayim." Yoav was suspecting that his intent was not 100% purely L'shem Shemayim, and therefore don't go ahead and count the Jewish people. Pasuk Dalet. Udvar Hamelech Chazak Al Yoav. Yoav tried his hardest to persuade the king not to count the Jewish people, but the king, David, responded with strength. He insisted he must go out and do his job. Vayetze Yoav Vayishalech B'chol Yisrael. He traveled throughout the entire population. Vayavo Yerushalayim, and he came to Yerushalayim with the results. So he did what David told him. He made a tour of the entire Eretz Yisrael, tallying the numbers, and he finally returned home to the capital to present the number to David. Pasuk Hey, Vayitein Yoav es Mispar Mifkat Am El David. Yoav delivered the number of the counting of the people to David, and what was the tally? Vayihi Chol Yisrael Elef Alafim, 1,000 times 1,000, which equals 1,000,000. Umeya Elef, 100,000 ish Shaleif Cheref, those who drew, who unsheathed swords, able-bodied men, the Yehuda, Arba Meos V'Shivim Elef, Yehuda, now that was from everyone besides the Shevet of Yehuda Miyamin, the Yehuda, Arba Meos V'Shivim, there were 470,000, Arba Meos, 470,000 ish, Sholeif Charef, Ulelevi Uvinyamin, so from 9 Shvatin, there was 1,100,000, from Shevet Yehuda, Shevet number 10, there was 470,000, and the two more Shvatim, Levi and Binyamin, the Levi Binyamin loifalkad b'seicham, he did not count. Why? Ki nisav, it was detestable. Nisav is a very powerful word. Nisav means it was repulsive. This instruction that David gave Yoav was repulsive, but you know, you have a job. Sometimes it goes to show that not everyone is always so happy with their job, their day job. He hated his job. This was his mission, and the word is a powerful word. Ki nisav dvar hamelech el Yoav, it was repulsive, and therefore he looked for every possible excuse not to count, not to whatever he did not need to do, he did not do. And we'll see the Mefarshim in one moment. What did he do? He said to David, "I'm not counting Shevet Levi because the Torah says don't count Shevet Levi." When Moshe Rabbeinu counted the Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu did not count Shevet Levi. And Binyamin, he chose not to count because they were recently destroyed in Pelegesh Begiva. The majority of the Shevet was wiped out. It could be it was not necessary to count because there was no number, there were so few people, possibly because of the Shech crisis that they were affected by Shevet Binyamin. Everyone knew the exact number, so it was not necessary to count the people in Shevet Binyamin. So he was able, because it was repulsive in the eyes of Yoav to follow the mission, the instruction of David, he was able to excuse himself by not counting Shevet of Levi and Shevet of Binyamin, because Shevet Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu did not count, so therefore there was a precedent that they should not be counted. And Shevet Binyamin, due to the tragic Plagash Begiv, he also was able to convince David that it's not necessary for them to be counted. Okay, let's see over here, let's read over Pasuk, and then we'll read Rashi's. Pasuk Zayin Vayera Be'enei Hoelokim. It was evil, it was harmful in the eyes of Hashem Al Hadavar Hazeh, and therefore Vayach Es Yisrael. Hashem went and he smote, he brought about tragedy among the Jewish people. Now we will see in one moment. Let's see the Mitzudos first and then the Rashi. Mitzudos Pasuk Gimel. Yoav said to David, "David, why do you want to count the Jewish people? Yosef Hashem, may Hashem add to the Jewish people 100 times what they are now. Al ki hoya niris mishe'elas hamelech asher yachshav ki rabim hema, because it appeared from the request of the king." Yoav was reading into David's words. David wanted to count the Jewish people in order to get an appreciation of the number, the population, the large population of the Jewish people. That's why this is what Yoav suspected David. David, why do you want to count the Jewish people? Because you want to take pride in their large number. Yoav said to David, "Do not take pride in their large number. Just be happy that they're very large. And wish, and let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give a bracha to Klal Yisrael that they should multiply 100 times what they are now. Ulechein hisavol adas misparam. Therefore, you want to know their number in order to take pride in your success in nurturing this people to reach this state where they are very large. Amar lo Yoav, mi yiten halavai, if only the od Yosef Hashem alehim kmo shehem ata, the od yichbulu v'yachzru v'yiskaplu ad me'apam halavai, if only they can multiply many, many times, 100 times what they are now. Hallo, Ratzel Leimar, hallo, Adoni HaMelech Yodei Asher Kulam Ladoni Lavodim, you know everyone is loyal to you. You know that you have an approval rating of 100%. So there's nothing to fear. And this is another approach, another reason Chazal read into David's intent. David maybe was suspicious that not everyone was loyal to him. Therefore, he wanted to count them. By counting them, he would be able to get a greater assessment of who is loyal, who is not loyal. And in case there would be a war, he can know based upon the numbers what he can expect from his people, who will come and assist and who will be his detractors. That's alluded to here in this pasuk. Don't suspect anyone in this nation is not loyal. Everyone is loyal to you. And if they will increase more, it will be even a greater honor. If the population will increase, the new recruits or the new people who enter the nation will also be loyal to you. It is a sin to count the Jewish people, Yisrael, and here the Mitzudos adds in something which is very, very critical. This sheds light on the whole approach to his understanding of these psukim. Ki ein haberacha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamoy min ha'ayin. Baruch is only found in things that are hidden, like fish. We learned yesterday, fish v'yidgu l'roiv b'keref aretz, fish multiply because they are concealed. Something which is hidden is where you find bracha.
There's a bracha in Esther, do you say?
What? In
bracha.
In Hester. In Hester, in hiddenness, Hester, correct. Okay, Pasek, hey, Elif Alofim. So David told Yov, don't tell me what to do. I am the king. You follow orders. So he went out and he counted. The number was 1,100,000. Ratzulaymar. So here the mitzvah in a few words, this is an issue which is discussed at great length by the commentators, that there is a discrepancy with the number that's presented here in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel it says there were 800,000. So what in the world happened to those 300,000? So here we have some very interesting interpretations. So first he says, so the answer is, the truth is, the number that's presented in Sefer Shmuel, they were really in the Sefer Devayamim. This is the MS. The MS is there was 1,100,000. How many did Yoav actually give over to David? 800,000. Why did he give over 800,000? Because he did not, simply on a very simple level, he did not do a good job. Because he was very angry at David for doing something which he felt was sinful, to count Klal Yisrael. He did it half-heartedly, and he didn't properly calculate the number in order to offset the magefa that would come by counting Klal Yisrael. But here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, which is an historical document, historical record, more and more precise record of what actually happened, the Pesukim tell us the true number. If you really want to know what the true number was, it was 1,100,000. How many did Yoav give David? 800,000. That's one of many approaches to understand, to reconcile the discrepancy between here and Sefer Shmuel. Next Mitzudas, next page, Levin Yamin, Luetz Lema, Al Ki Loi Paka B'Nehem, Levin Yamin, Lezele, so here he goes further. Now he's saying the Mitzudas is saying a very, very big chiddush. Most Mefarshim don't learn like this. Certainly not the Midrashim. He's saying the reason why the real number was 1,100,000. You know why? Because he did not count, but he only presented 800,000. The other 300,000 can be found in Shevet Levi, and Shevet Binyamin. Shevet Levi and Shevet Binyamin would have made up the discrepancy of the 300,000. Yoav here chose not to count those people, and that's why the number that he gave David was 800,000, but the true number was 1,100,000. The number mentioned over here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim is including these two Shvatim. Of Yaf, how do we know that? What's the obvious question? But if he did not count these people, so how do we know that they equal 300,000? It was an estimation. He did not actually count them, but he had other ways of making the cheshbon. Therefore, that's what the true number was. Yeah.
When he uses the border of Be'er Sheva to Dan,
yes.
Did he count the Aver Hayarim inhabitants?
Where is Dan? Dan is in the north, right?
And Be'er Sheva is
in the south. And does that include? I don't know the answer. I don't know. So what about Reuben and Gad and Chatishev Menasha? It could be they did. It was an expression. Midon Gad Be'er Sheva just means from
end to
end,
from
shining, from
sea to shining
sea, from end to end. Yes. So L'chor it means that possibly that the Don and Be'er Sheva are more north and more south than the extremes of the north and the south that are found in the Aver Hayarde. So we're not going from east to west, we're going from north to south. We're only describing one direction. But simply he did. You have to assume that he did. It's just an expression. Midon Gad Be'er Sheva is an expression which means from the extreme limits to the other end. Now, why did Yoav not count Shevet Dan and Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Levi? Ki nis'a. It was detestable in his eyes. The Mitzvah says, Nosan tam lama lo pokadis Levi Binyamin v'ama ki davar dvar melech hayin mos. It was detestable. Be'ene Yoav ulezeh haya mishtamet. He was able to cleverly slip away and not fulfill his mission. Loimar haloi. This is very important what he says. Bimei Moshe loy hispok to Mati Levi v'soch b'nei Yisrael. So Beferish HaPosek, Hashem told Moshe, do not count Shevet Levi. They are not to be counted in the Machsa Shekel. B'soch b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Binyamin, what about Binyamin? Hoya kimishtamet loymar, he was able to slip away and say, Dai lohem mashenismatu bimei pilegesh v'giva. It's enough. They already suffered enough. What you're doing now is going to bring a magefa. It's enough that they already suffered a magefa. Don't go bring upon them more tzaros. Okay, now we go al hadavar hazeh. Hashem was not pleased, and Hashem bavur shenimu b'loi koifer nefesh. According to the Mitzudos has a very harsh interpretation of David's actions. He learns very simply that David counted them by name, by person. David did not use shkolim, did not use stones, did not use parts of animals, did not use any means of counting, and that's why Hashem was angry. But that's a very big chiddush, because how could it be that David made such a terrible mistake? It's a beferish pasuk that when you count Klal Yisrael, you must count them with machsa shekel. Many other Rishonim do not learn like the Mitzudos. They learn that David did count them with shkolim, did count them with animals. Still, even counting with animals is not an excuse, because it's not the right thing to know the number of qualities. So qualities, when you count something, you're coming to limit their power, and Hashem does not want qualities to be limited. Lo yimoniv, lo yisaber, mirov, they should not be limited. So it's a chiddush to say that according to the Mitzudos, David actually was in violation of the halacha to such a degree that he even counted them without koifer nefesh, without some type of atonement, meaning the money that was used to count should be given as a donation. Now there's another approach, what the sin of David, another approach is that David was, the Torah only allows to be counted those that are 20 years and above, 20 years and up. It appears here there's no mention of age. Even though it says they were shoylef cheref, no one ever said that a 13-year-old can't draw a sword. In fact, it could be that some teenagers are even more dexterous, they're more skillful in the warfare than adults. So according to some Mefarshim, that David sin was that he counted, everyone was counted. Not just people from 20 and up, he counted even those that were younger than 20, and that is not sanctioned by the Torah. Okay, so that concludes the mitzvah. Let's see the Rashi. The Rashi says some things are similar, some a little bit different. Let's go back to Pasuk Hey in Rashi. Mispar Mifkat Ha'am, Dugmas V'chol Pikdechem L'chol Misparchem. This is another expression which means the number of their counting. Vayhi, what was the number? The tally was 1,100,000. And among Shavidu, we have 470,000. Ksiv, Rashi points out the difficulty that in Sefer Shmuel it says there were 800,000. Ksiv, Shmoine Meos Elef Ish Yehuda. And what about Shevet Yehuda? There's also a discrepancy. It says, Hey Meos Elef. They were not this, you know, this the Mitzudas does not address. The Mitzudas does not address the discrepancy in Shevet Yehuda. He says, as far as the rest of Klal Yisrael, we can answer that we have to take into account Shevet Levi and Shevet Binyamin. But the Mitzudas does not address, how do you take into account the discrepancy in Shevet Yehuda?
It's only 30,000.
But still there is a discrepancy. In Ish Yehuda it says, Hey Meos Elef, they were 500,000. And here it says, they were 470,000. But there's still discrepancy. The Mashma, the Loha Yum Yisrael Kol Kaka Shademakan, Ela. So here is the answer, another approach by Rashi. Lefish HaKetzef Haya Me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aldav LeKosav Sham Mispar Kulam Shemone, because Hashem was angry at David, we don't give the full number. The Afiyoyav Loimona Kol Hashvatim Kamoy Shokosov Ki Nisav Devar Hamelech Esyoyav Avol Kan Mishum Kvoidoy Shel David Maskir Kan Mismon Shecheshbon Shemone Ki Zehu Kvoido. So it's not, the words are not really clear. It's very hard to translate the words literally. I struggle with these words, but the basic idea is saying something similar to the Mitzvah, that since it was sinful what David did, the Pasuk is trying to hide the sin or to mitigate the sin by not giving an accurate number. Since in Sefer Shmuel, the focus of Sefer Shmuel is to highlight sin, to highlight shortcomings, in order that we can learn and we can better ourselves from these great people, David and all the Ishei HaTanach. That is the agenda of Sefer of the Nevi'im, to highlight problems, to learn from the problems. Sefer Divrei Hayom is not to highlight chesronos. The purpose of Sefer Divrei Hayom is only to highlight kavod, to give honor to David. Therefore,
like here he wanted to prove that Shevet Yehuda had the most, and hence he wanted to justify why he should be king, because they are the...
Okay, that's an interesting idea. That's interesting, and he won't take pride. So that's...
Yeah,
that's exactly the point, that Yehuda...
And another thing, 300,000, if you subtract Yehuda to Shmuel, it's less than 100,000 for Shevet.
Correct.
That's right.
That's right.
So,
how can we say Levi had that?
How can we say Levi that? Then, according to the Mitzudos, how can we say Levi had close to 300,000? It was almost equal to Shevet Yehuda. Ein Achnami. So you have to say these two Shvatim, they multiplied more so than the other Shvatim. There was a special bracha. We don't know. That's a style of, like the Hasidim. They all have an average 10 children. And those that are not Hasidim don't have.
There wasn't wealth in it.
Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but it is very interesting. These two Shvatim, Shevet, according to the Pasuk explicitly, it's clear that they had 300,000. According to the Mitzudos, he alludes to the fact that Levi also had a very large number. Other Rishonim don't give an answer. They just learn very simply. We don't even bother to count Levi and Binyamin at all. So we do not know their numbers at all. But still, Yehuda was very, very large. Rashi was saying, the words of Rashi are very hard. A lot of these Rashi are very hard to translate. It's not clear what Rashi means, 100%. I'm not only me saying this. Other Rishonim say this. The people who read the Rashis carefully, they have a hard time decipher what Rashi really means, but the words of Rashi, just to repeat those words, Elul Lefis Shaketzef Haya Me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al David Le'kosav Sham Mispar Kulam Shemone. What does that mean exactly? Because Hashem was angry at Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk did not record the correct number. But did Yoav count them correctly? Did he count them? Did he not count them? And the Pasuk fudged the numbers because Hashem was angry? That's what it appears. But then he goes, Yoav lo imone kol ha-shvatim. Then he just goes, Yoav did not count. He's going to a new idea, Rashi. Yoav did not count all of the shvatim. He did not count Levi and Binyamin. K'moshe kosav ki nisav devar ha-melech es Yoav avol kan mishum kavoidesh al David. Masker kan misbar v'cheshun shemone ki zeh kavoidesh sheyichel go kavod kezeh yibashivtoi. He's jumping around different ideas. Kavod of David, now we jump that we're counting David's shevet, the shevet Yehuda, which had the most. Even when he did count, it was not recorded. So he's making another diyuk. Dear in Sefer, a Shmuel, the Haksiv Kan, Kol Yisrael. Shmuel Loiksiv Kol. He began to count but did not count all them. There was anger. Okay, the words of Rashi are very hard to decipher. It's very hard to decipher this. Rashi is jumping around back and forth different ideas, but the gist of Rashi is that Hashem was not pleased, and therefore the numbers are not presented accurately to express the displeasure Hashem in what was taking place. That is the purpose of Sefer Nevi'im, to bring out Chatoim, for the purpose of us to learn from. Divrei Hayamim has a different agenda. Kvoidei Shel David, a motivational Sefer, was being written at the time of the Bayis Sheni to inspire Klal Yisrael to make Aliyah, to be part of building the Bayis Sheni, and to hopefully bring Mashiach very quickly at that point in time. That was the goal. Therefore, Nevi'im, history was rewritten with a positive spin. And part of the positive spin was to extract the true number of the Jewish people. There was 1,100,000. You go over 1,000,000, right? You go to the market, everyone knows the marketing. Go to the supermarket, everything is 99 cents. Why not already $1? Obviously, there's something to it. This is the way the world works. There's something to it. So when you go and go over the number, 1,100,000, there's something to it in the mind than saying 800,000. Right? There's also a number, the number 7 is that correct? Marketing, the number 7 is a very popular number. Right? The number, for some reason, people like the number 7. You'll have more success selling a product for $77 than selling a product for $95. There are studies like this. When people hear the number 7, they get excited. I don't know, why is that so? You have two people will buy the product for $77, than having one person buy it for $95. So you'll come out making a much greater profit by selling. So there's something to the numbers, but certainly 1,100,000, that represents 1,100,000, and has a much more positive effect. Right, next Rashi. Yoav haya yodea sheyia la'ashma. Yoav was well aware that this event of counting Klal Yisrael would result in sin, in tragedy. Therefore, La'am L'negev, L'fichach Omar Yoav Yochlani L'hatzil Shvatim Halol Menamin. I have a way to save these two Shvatim. Levi, Im Yoav Ma'David Lama Lo'im Onisa Es Levi, Ashivenu, I will respond to David, Ki Lo'i Hispaktu B'Soch B'nei Yisrael. Precedent. Moshe did not count Levi. Hashem told him not to do so. The chain Omer Libinyamin. He also had an excuse from Yamin. Omar, he would say to Moshe, "Hello, bebilegish begiva nikfu." They were smitten. So why do you want to take a risk in allowing them to be counted? Ve'im yis nakfu ata ma yishtayer lohem. What will remain? Pasik mekedaknu. Now, and let me just present some of the midrashim that I left out loud. Okay. Okay, pretty much the Midrashim were covered by Rashi and the Mitzudos. Okay, they're pretty much covered. Let's go to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches. Vayomi David Elohim, Chotasi. So there was a Vayachas Yisrael. Now, what was the Magefa? The Magefa was people began to die. People began to die from a plague. That's according to the semblance of a Yach Es Yisrael. Now, according to one interpretation, there was only one person. This is a Medrash. It's not so simple what this Medrash means. But according to one interpretation, there was only one person that died in this Magefa. Who was he? Avishai. Avishai was David's brother. David's nephew. We learned before in the war of Ammon, what did David do? Ammon aligned themselves with Aram. Ammon hired Aram. Aram had many more soldiers than Ammon. David took his two best generals, his two nephews, Yoav and Avishai. Yoav was to go to battle against Aram, and Avishai was to go to battle against Ammon. Okay, so we know that Avishai was a very great person. We also remember, we learned that there's a Rashi that says that in Sefer Divrayim, it's not spelled Avishai with a Yud, he's spelled Avshai. Why is he spelled Avshai? Because if he spelled him out Avishai, it means my father is Yishai. His father was not really Yishai, Grima was his father. We don't even know who his father was. We know his mother was Tsruya, who was David's sister. But his grandfather was Avishai. However, it would sound like he is a brother of David. And being that it's not a kavod for David to have a competitor in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we took out the Yud to hide the fact that his grandfather was Avishai. But one thing we know for sure, he was a very great holy person. If David went and trusted him to go fight against Ammon, which solidified his malchus, so he was a very holy person. According to some of the Mefarshim, the only one to die in this Magefa was his nephew. Where do we have a similar idea where one person died, and the pasuk says many people died in the battle of Ai, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael? There's a parallel between different stages of the development of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they forced Yericho. What happened? Achan took from the spoils of Yericho, and then they went to the next battle of Ai. Who died in Ai? The pasuk says 36 soldiers died in the battle of Ai. And what did Chazal tell us? Who really died in the battle of Ai? Only one person. Anyone remember his name? I forget, the name is slipping my mind. Asnil ben Kenaz. Right? Is that who it was?
What's
his name? Asnil, not Asnil ben Kenaz. Only one person died in what? So who was the one? There was one person that died in the battle of Ai. He was Shakal Kineged, Roiv Sanhedrin, 36 people. The Pasuk says, 36 people died in the battle of Ai. Along come Chazal, it was only one person who died, and that person was so great, he was Shakal Kineged 36. Which 36? Not just 36 people, but the majority, because Hashem takes Tzadikim. When there's a kitrug in Klal Yisrael, Hashem takes a tzaddik, and that tzaddik is the kapar for Klal Yisrael. So just like we have there, that stage, that point in time when Klal Yisrael was going to the next level, they were going up from coming into conquering Eretz Yisrael, there was a kitrug, and there was a misa of a tzaddik. One tzaddik was shocked and naked many people. Here we have the same exact thing happening at this point in time. We're coming to a new madrig. We're coming now to a point in time where David's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to find the mokom, the location where the Mikdash will be built. It's a great moment in time. And the Satan comes along to make trouble. And who dies? A tzaddik. Who is the tzaddik? In this case, Avishai. What's the third example of where a tzaddik dies at a great point in time? Nadav Avihu. When they came to inaugurate the Mishkan, it was on the eighth day. So Nadav Avihu, they Makav Eish Zara, they died on that day. So there's something we see over here that at a great time in the history of Klal Yisrael, where there's a great event taking place, the Satan is Makatrik. And if Klal Yisrael is not perfect, Rachmana Litzlan, there can result in the Misa Sadigim. So that's what it means, Sivayach Es Yisrael Avishai died. Okay, well, that's not the simple interpretation. The simple interpretation is many people died. Let's go further. This is David's hallmark. This is why David, Hashem chose David as Melech over Shaul, because David was first to admit Chatasi. Same thing when it came to Bathsheba. Instead of David saying, David being like Shaul and saying, I did not do what I do wrong, David immediately admits his sin. Vayomer David Elokim chotasi me'od, very much. Asher asisi sadav hazev ya'atah, now ha'aver no es avoin avdecha, he begs Hashem, forgive the sin of your servant. Ki niskalti me'od, I acted very foolishly. Chazal tell us, Ein odem choyte, ele im kein nichnas boy ruach shtos. Sin always results from foolishness. And that's exactly what this pasuk says. This is a clear source for that halacha. David says, my sin comes from an act of foolishness, niskalti me'od, and therefore chotasi me'od. The more foolish you are, the greater your sin. The two ma'ods go totally zebezeh. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Ches. Hadavar hazeh. Limnoisam, the Mitzudos again, he says, he says the same thing we said before. Limnoisam beloi koifer nefesh. What was my sin? I did not use shkolim. I did not use animals. Haver no, he begs Hashem, please forgive, pass away. Haver rotzeloimar lo yamusu l'shachis. They shall not die l'shachas. L'shachas means the grave. The tzaddikim should not see the grave, die into the grave because of my sins. Imkain memelu yavar havoy memelu, the sin will pass. V'yelich lo hoil v'lo yanegef will not pass. Now the word havara, it's a very scary word. On Yom Neroim, on Yom, we say the same exact nusach. Useshuva usefilo utzedaka. Ma'avirin es roya ha'gezera. What is in ma'avirin? It passes. What does that mean? It passes. It's a very. I don't know. I'm just telling you what it says in the Sfarim, and it's a very scary concept. And I don't know. I don't know what it means. I'm just throwing it out. Maybe you can figure out what this means. Why do we say ushuvus l'tzedaka brings kapara, atonement, or brings slicha? What would mean ma'avirin? That's really what it says here. Ha'aver no. So some commentators say as follows. Again, I'm warning you in advance. I don't know what this means. It's hard to understand. That when a sin is committed, there has to be punishment. Only question is, if a person is able to do tshuva, Hashem will not bring the punishment upon the perpetrator, the guilty party. The punishment will go to someone else. So it will go upon an animal, it will go upon another person that anyway deserves to be punished. Like, let's say there's a person on the other end of the world that did a terrible avera, did the same exact avera, and they, for whatever reason, have not been punished, and now someone from Klal Yisrael has done that avera, and they're guilty, and they deserve punishment. So by doing tshuva, the sin will pass, ma'avirin will pass. Instead of it coming upon Reuven, it will come upon someone else at the other end of the world who anyway deserves the punishment, and the punishment will now come upon him. Because a sin must result in a punishment. The only question is, to whom the punishment will be directed. But that's very hard to understand what that means. Because why should someone else, there's no such thing in the Torah that someone else suffers for your sins. Ish b'cheto yumas. No such thing. So what then does it mean, ma'avirin? I don't know, but that's how it's explained. So there are many layers of interpretation, and we have the same exact word used here, ha'averna. David does not ask Hashem for slicha, for kapara, atonement. Kapara means to cover. Kapara means you have a sin, you cover it. You bury it. Never happened. Doesn't ask for that. Haverna, let it pass. Let the sin not be directed against us. Let it be directed, you know, like on some planet. Like there's a meteorite, or there's some type of, it has to be a clap. So why should the clap come on this world? Let there be some type of asteroid that will go and bang in to a dead planet where no harm will come. Redirect the punishment into a place where no one's going to be harmed. Okay? That's what it says. The Mitzudas doesn't really learn like that. He just says, Havirat Lema. The Mitzudas, you can see, is bothered by this expression. He says, Rotzalaymar, Lo Yemusu Lashachas, Vim Kain Mimela, Yav Ravon, Vielich Lohol Velo Yihi Hanegef. He's fudging it. He's coming to, he's disturbed. What does it mean? But this is what it says. Ki niskalti ma'ot. I acted foolishly. Ratzalai ma'halani. He says, sichlus godol ma'ot. A very great act of foolishness. Limnai sambolei kaifer nefesh. Uma poshu heim. What do they sin? Why should these people suffer due to my sins? Sheimus b'mageifach shelo yimus lo yimse b'yavon. If they won't die, then it won't be considered that I've done a sin. So therefore, I ask you, Hashem, to forgive me. Okay, there's a very beautiful Rashi. Rashi says the word avon. This is one of four places in Tanakh where the word avon is spelled mole. If you notice in Pasuk Ches, the word avon has two vavs. Most of the time throughout Tanakh, the word avon has one vav, ayin vav nun, and the nikud, the vowel in the vav is a cholam, ayin avon. There's a make believe, an invisible vav. Here, the word avon is mole. So there's a whole vav to express the vowel the cholam of avon. So Rashi asked the question, why is this vav mole? So Rashi says, Yat havin avon avdecha, avon ze mole b'shnei vavin. Kiloimar, so what's the meaning? Haver no al ha'avon hamole she'asisi. I've committed a full sin. When a word is spelled with extra yuds and extra vavs, the connotation is, I didn't just sin half-heartedly. I did a full-fledged sin with all of the hidurin, was done 100%. David here is admitting a full admission of guilt. Many people, when they go and they confess, he always hears with politicians, right? Why did I sin? Why did I commit this crime? Well, I was depressed, and I know things weren't going so good, and I had a fight with my wife, and I lost a lot of money, and I wasn't in the frame of mind. So even though it's true, I'm guilty, and I accept responsibility for my actions, but go easy on me, because, you know, I'm suffering from depression. I didn't commit the sin with a full heart. It just happened without me knowing. That's not what David says. David says, I knew exactly what I was doing. I'm not making any excuses whatsoever. The avoin is mole. It's full. That's what it says here. Avoin ze mole b'shnevam kolem ha'ever no al-avon ha'mole sh'asisi. And then Rashi says, very good trivia Rashi, v'dalid mileim hein b'kriya. There are four avons in the entire Tanakh that have vavs. V'ze echad mehem. This is one of them. What's the second one? The asheni. The second one is in Tehillim, hein b'avon cholalti. I was born, cholalti, I was conceived in sin. Man, every man, this is very interesting, man, when a person has children, Hashem created man with a Yetzirah. And if a man would not have a Yetzirah, people would not have children. People would not have the desire to have children. The Yetzirah makes it easy for people to have children, so to speak. But that's not really what Hashem wants. What Hashem really wants, everything a person does in this world shall be done 100% l'shem Shemayim. But the truth is, it is impossible for a human being to father a child 100% l'shem Shemayim. Impossible. Because there is always, even in the greatest of the great, a mashuhu sheba mashuhu of Yetzirah, a person takes pleasure in his actions. Therefore, that's why the Pasuk says that a person is conceived in sin. And sin mole, meaning mole, there's always a sin. Don't make any mistake about it. Even the greatest of the great cannot say they have no Yetzirah, and a human being is not conceived in some degree of selfish desire. Okay, we're dealing over here with Dakas Shabbat, says about Sadiq, you can't say it, but Dakas Shabbat Dakas. Hein bevon chololti, uchumfush bevika rabba, be'isha ki sazriya, afilu chosid shabbat chasidim. Even the most pious of the pious, efshar, it is impossible, shelo yiyaloi echad ba'avera b'loi nischavin, that they're going to do something without they're going to do something without sin. There's always going to be a degree of sin. A person, when he does things, he does things with selfish desire. Okay, so that's why a person is conceived in sin. I have been conceived in sin. It's some mole. The vav is mole. Don't fool yourself. No one should think that there's no degree of sin in being brought into this world. What's the third avon? Avonoisav yilkidenu es harasha. The sins of the wicked will capture. A person will stumble in his own sins. Eventually, you'll get caught in your own web of lies. A person's own evil deeds will eventually do him in. Right? You can be smart and clever. There's no such thing as the perfect crime. Right? I'm sure you've read some good mystery books or seen some good things that we should not see. There's no such thing as the perfect crime. You'll always leave over some evidence of your sin and you'll be caught. That's what it's supposed to say. Haloi avoynoisav yil kidenu es harasha. The sins will capture the rasha. Avoynoisav hamarubim. So there, that interpretation there is his multiple sins. The multiple sins of the wicked will do him in. It means many. There means many. V'harivi umatsanu avoyn umatsanu avon. This refers to the haftira and sefer melachim of shomrein. There was a famine. I forgot the whole story. Right? There was a famine and in Shomron, and there were two Gehazi, and there were two Anoshim the Mitzrayim were thrown out of the city because they had Saras, and in the process of going out of the city they came across the enemy, and they found everyone. They were Kolos the Brachim, and everyone ran away, and they found food. And they went back, and they told they saved Shomron. So it says there, if we don't go back and tell the people in the city who are starving to death about what we have found, then we will be guilty of causing their death. Umotzanu avon v'yatona aluchu v'novo v'nagid beis hamelech sh'amru im loy nelech v'nagid beis hamelech. We don't go tell the king that we have discovered food, water, and things for the people to eat. Ye avon gadol. This will be a very great sin mole, ki yavo aleim oivim, because then they will die, they will perish in hunger, and the enemy will attack. Okay, so this is David's response. Chotasi meod pasik tes vayidaber Hashem el God. Hashem spoke to God. Chose David leimar. God appears to be David's personal prophet. We know that David had another prophet, Nasan Hanavi. So why did Nasan? Where was Nasan at this point? I do not know. But there was Nasan and there was God HaChoyze, the seer. So this, it says, very unusual expression. The Choyze David Lema. He was David's eyes. He was David's personal prophet. And what did he say? Lech. Hashem said to David, Choyze Lech go vidibata lel David Lema. Go to David and tell him. Koyam Hashem. Hashem says to David. That is a very, very difficult sugya. It's very, very hard to understand what's going on here. You're going to suffer. But I'm giving you a choice. Since when does Hashem give a person a choice how to suffer? It's very hard to say, what's it all about? You have bechira. I'm going to bring upon you punishment for your sin, and I'm going to present you with three options. Choose. It's like Yom Kippur, right? Ayei mekoyim kavoidai. What did you say on the Yom Narayim? When the Shat said Ayei, were you mispalel for banim? Will you mispal for Ruach HaKodesh? Or you mispal for Oisher, for wealth? You have a choice. So take all three. You have a choice. Here Hashem is telling David, I'm going to punish you. I'm giving you a choice. Choose wisely. Let's see what it says. Lech v'dibatel David le'emar koyam Hashem shalosh ani note olecha. I'm giving you three things. I'm going to turn in your direction. And choose one of them, and that will come upon you, and the other two will go away. B'char l'cha achas mehena, choose one of them, ve'eseh loch, and I'll do to you. V'yavo v'yavo God el David, v'yavo lo yikoyama Hashem l'kabel loch. Hashem says, accept. Kabel lach means accept for you one of the following three. Here are the choices. Number one, im shalosh shanim ra'av. Choice number one, 3 years of famine. Okay, famine. And what happens when there's famine? People starve to death. Many people in the Jewish nation will starve. The im shalosh chodashim nispe, or choice number two, 3 months. Not 3 years, but 3 months. What's going to happen in 3 months? People are going to die by the sword. There's going to be a war, and a significant number of people will be killed by sword. Nispe means to perish. Like asifa, to be gathered in. Mibnei tzarecha, be due to your enemies. V'cherev oyevecha lima seges. The sword of your enemy will overtake you. V'hisig lachem da'ish espotzir. That masik means that to overtake you. That's choice number two. Choice number three, v'im shloishes yomim, or there'll be 3 days of cherev Hashem, the sword of Hashem, the dever ba'aretz. Now the sword of Hashem, the pasuk is explaining, what does it mean, the sword of Hashem? Not famine, not enemy, but it's going to be a plague, like a disease, some type of contagious disease. What?
Dever.
A dever, right, a plague. The dever ba'aretz, umalach Hashem mashchis, will bring destruction, b'chol gvul Yisrael. All the bounds of Yisrael, the Atah, now, re'ei si mo'oshiv es sholchi davar. David says, think about it, contemplate, re'ei, and tell me what I should return to the one who sent me, davar, this matter. Now, this is something which we have to really be mined into more, what it means, these. Well, first of all, what stands out like a bolt of lightning when you read this is time. The first choice is, it's either going to be a long, prolonged 3 years, 3 years, or 3 months, or 3 days. Now, putting everything aside, just to me, I think you'd say 3 days. What? Get over with. What? So you say something. You say something very powerful. You say something extremely powerful. But that's all part of the answer. With David, Niflo Nibno No Biat Hashem, I want to be Biat Hashem. So he's saying it's Biat Hashem. Okay, right. Okay, we have to pick this up tomorrow. We're out of time now. But just something to think about until tomorrow is, the first thing that gets striking is when something lasts for a very, very long period of time, it wears a person out for the rest of their life. Even if you survive, go through 3 years of torture of not having what to eat. Like, you know, it's very striking if you ever listen to the tales of the Holocaust, these books, something it's impossible to relate to is the fact that in the camps and during in the ghettos, there was starvation. And this was by design. The Nazis starved. They had plenty of food to give them. By design, they starved Klal Yisrael. Why? Because a person, this is something, Baruch Hashem, we can relate to, Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, when a person is hungry and is starving, there's only one thing you think about. Food. There's nothing else. You don't think about halacha, should I do this, should I do that, should I learn, should I worry about this relative, that relative. When a human being doesn't have what to eat for a prolonged period of time, he turns into an animal, and the only thing you think about is food. There's no time to rebel, to organize groups, to unionize, to rebel against the Nazis. It's something which, Rahman al-Sultan, if you don't experience it, you can't relate to it. 3 years of starvation is torture. That's an incredible torture. If a person says you can have 3 days, 72 hours, can be over. Whoever will live, will live. Whoever will die. Okay. So either the person dies, or he lives. But if he lives, he only has to be in a state of terror for 3 days, not a state of suffering for 3 years.
Based on that, or some will live. Also, in 3 years of famine, some will live.
Well, we don't know. We don't know. The numbers are not presented. So do you want to say that's implicit?
Survival for every three categories.
Oh, so that's another question.
Is there more time to
do tshuva?
So-called appeal system.
Okay, I don't know the answer. And then where does 3 months come in? 3 months come in, there's going to be a war. War is not fun, obviously. To go have to fight a war and have an enemy come and attack you on your homeland. So it's a very, very tragic. Okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow, but one thing that Rashi says, David said, what kind of choice is this? It's like a person says to you, so a person, this is what Rashi says. A person says, you're going to die. Where do you want to be buried? Next to your mother or next to your father? What kind of nechama is that? to be buried next to the mother or the father? Similarly, what kind of choice? Each of the choices are not very pleasant.